Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah begins a new series on Abraham. Pastor Ray will lead us through Abraham's journey from risky faith to radical blessing. Now here's Pastor Ray Noah.
We're beginning a new series today that I'm really excited about on the life of Abraham. And this series is going to be based out of Genesis chapter 12 through 25. Now, we're still under the theme that God gave us for 2014, and that's the theme, the word believe, the theme believe. And we're learning in this series all year long, we're going to be learning and being challenged to step out, to risk faith in order to experience this incredible, radical blessing that God has for us as his people. Believe, stepping out, risking faith, and experiencing God. And there is no better human example of that kind of life that we can learn from than that of Abraham. So we're going to be studying Abraham. He's going to guide us as we learn to step out into greater expressions of risky belief that are just part and parcel to the radical blessing that God desires to give his children, to those who believe. Now, I want you to keep in mind that from the perspective of the New Testament, especially from the Apostle Paul's perspective, and you find this in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham is called the father of our faith. Now, Abraham was not a Christian. He lived, and he walked with God before the law of Moses was given. He came into relationship with God before the era of grace, before there was the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And yet, this Old Testament saint is called the father of our faith. That means that we can learn from him. It means that whenever you hear Abraham's story, whenever you hear his story throughout this series or in your life, and especially today in particular, as you listen to this text being read and us talking about this, just keep in mind that as the father of our faith, it's not just his journey of faith that we're going to learn about. This can be your story of exemplary faith as well. You need to read yourself into Abraham's life. So we're going to start in chapter 12 with verses 1 through 8. Where we first discover God's call upon Abraham's life, and we discover God's plan for Abraham's future. So, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and I'm going to invite you to stand. This is a bit of a longer passage than normal, and just to honor God's word, I want you to stand with me as I read it. Beginning in verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, now before he was Abraham, he was Abram. God changed his name later on. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him. He was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, or Sarah, as she was later called, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and all of the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And then Abraham traveled throughout the land as far as the site of the great tree at Morah in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abraham again, and he said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Father, I pray that as we study this great man's life, that this will be more than just an intellectual pursuit, a theological endeavor, that we stuff our minds full of more biblical doctrine. I pray that Abraham's life will inspire us to risk belief, to step out in faith, and to move toward that which you have called us to in an inexorable, radical kind of way. God, make us people of faith too, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The 19th century poet James Russell Lowe wrote this poem. He wrote, life is a leaf of paper white, whereon each one of us may write his word or two, and then comes night. Greatly began, though thou have time, but for a while be that sublime. Not failure, but low aim is crime. Not failure, but low aim is crime. That last line is rather haunting, isn't it? It's not failure, but it is low aim. That's our crime. That's what most of us, including me, are guilty of. I want to reverse that. Are you with me? How about we reverse that trend? How about we set our sights high? We quit gazing at the ground and start staring at the stars, like we're going to read about in Abraham's life in just a minute or two. You know, if we're guilty of anything here at PCC, if we're guilty of anything as the children of God, let it be failure, not a lack of vision. Let it be that we tried and we failed, not that we didn't try at all. Let's risk great things for God. Let's step out. Let's try the impossible to honor God. But let it not be low aim. Let it not be a lack of vision that we're known for. Let's aim high. Because that honors God. A vision and risking faith and stepping out, it honors God. How so? You see, God created you with a vision for greatness. Every one of us, God created you with a vision for greatness. It is implanted deeply within your being. Every one of you, it's implanted deeply within your DNA. Like Abraham, God has destined you for great things beyond your wildest dreams. And that's true for us as a church as well. One of the things that I love about PCC is that there is a vision for great things. One of the things that attracted Linda and I, compelled us to come back here 5 years ago, was that we knew that this was a church that had a vision for great things, that was destined for greatness. It's deep within that vision. That vision is deep within our collective psyche. And not just someday in heaven. Of course, we're going to experience great things beyond our wildest expectations once we get to heaven. But I'm talking about right now. Right now, we can live lives of kingdom impact and exemplary faith. Right now, that is possible. You see, God never implants a dream. If it comes from God, and it does, God never implants a dream that he doesn't intend to fulfill. God will never, never waste a vision. He doesn't roll that way. The God who gave it will bring it to completion. No matter who you are, God has implanted a vision within you, and he intends to fulfill it if you will step out in faith, no matter who you are, young or old. Now remember, at this point in Genesis, Abraham is 75 years old when he gets a new call. He's well into his senior citizen years, and he gets a new vision for what God is calling him to. He has a career change at 75 years old. About 25 years later, God comes along and announces that his wife Sarah is going to have a baby. They're close to 100. Look out, senior saints, if you're an active adult. I would suggest right after the service, you walk by the nursery. You might be recalled to active duty here pretty soon. You never know. It's happened before. Seriously, if you are in the senior citizens category, don't let your vision get buried. You drag it back up, resurrect it. God has something for you to do, and I believe that your greatest days are just ahead of you. Don't give up on that. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. Doesn't matter if you're educated or not. Doesn't matter if you're talented or not. Doesn't matter if you're reputable or not. Doesn't matter if you're successful or not. Doesn't matter if you have a lot of money or not. God has big plans for you. So discover that, or for maybe most of us, rediscover that. It was there at one time. Rediscover that. Resurrect that dream and pursue it with reckless abandon, that vision for great things. Risk some faith. Step out in trust and do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to experience that uncommon life that God has in store for all who believe. Now, Abraham, our guide, will show us how. He'll show us the way. Abraham was just an ordinary guy living a very ordinary life when one day God showed up and messed things up for him. He was just walking along, minding his own business, and God showed up and messed with his life. God gave him a vision of what life could be. if he would just step out in believing faith, the impossible would become possible. Abraham was 75 years old, and he didn't have any children. His wife was barren. And God showed up and said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, father of many people, if you just believe me. Not just someday. God had plans for that to happen. It didn't happen in our timeline, in Abraham's timeline, in a human timeline, but it did happen. God took Abraham outside one clear night. Find this in Genesis 15:5. And he said, look up at the sky, Abraham. I want you to count the stars, if you can. That is how many descendants that you will have. And Abraham did. And from that point on, whenever Abraham looked up into that night sky and saw those stars, he was reminded of God's promise. And the vision was stirred. And though nowhere near reality at that point, he believed and he pursued it until it became a reality. He pursued the God-implanted vision. So before we go any further into this message today, and before we go any further into this series on Abraham's life, I want to give you an assignment. There'll be another one at the end of the message as well, but I want to give you an assignment that you're going to do. Hopefully tonight. Hopefully tonight, I'm going to have you to go outside, and I'm, by faith, saying it's going to be a clear night. Hopefully you will have a clear night tonight. If not tonight, then hopefully sometime in 2014, since we live in the Northwest, right? And I want you to go outside, and I want you to look up at those stars. And I want you to know this. Those are the same stars that Abraham saw. Isn't that cool? Those are the same stars that Abraham looked at. And then I want you to have a conversation with God. And most importantly, I want you to listen. You know, most of us are so busy praying that we don't take the time to listen to God in prayer. I think that's a discipline that we need to come into is praying people of God, that we not just fill the air with our prayers, but we take time to listen and say, God, if we're praying and asking, what are you saying? So just go out, look at the stars and ask God to stir the vision within you and listen to what he has to say. And then ask him for strength to believe it. Ask him for courage to step out and the wisdom to know what to do with it, to know what steps to take, how to pursue it. And in the days ahead, every time you see a night sky and the stars in the sky, every time you see the stars, I want you to recall that vision that God has that God has stirred within you. Recall that vision to your mind, and each time, talk to God about his plans for you. I hope you'll do that. Allow him to stir the vision that he has for your life. Now, Romans 15:4 says that what literally happened to Abraham pictures spiritually for you what God wants to do. It says, such things were written in the scripture long ago. It's talking about this story. It's talking about Abraham's life. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us and give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Abraham's life clearly paints the picture, and it provides the pattern for your journey. He's our father of faith. The New Testament writers hold him as the example of how God works in us to fulfill his promises. He's our example. He's our model. And how we are to align our lives like Abraham did through belief and through action to align our lives for that fulfillment. By tracing Abraham's life, we find the keys to how God transforms ordinary men and women into people of extraordinary exemplary faith. So let's unpack Abraham. I'm going to ask you to again look at chapter 12. In fact, go before chapter 12 to chapter 11 and just glance at verses 27 through 32. That's the context for us meeting Abraham. Chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. And as you scan over that portion of scripture, what you're going to find there is that when God comes to Abraham and calls him, he's living about 1,000 miles east of Israel in the Chaldean city of Ur. Everybody say Ur. Not Ur, but Ur. Ur. About 1,000 miles east of Israel. It's like from Portland to Denver. Just Denver. He His address was Ur. It's a lot simpler than 5700 Southwest Dosh Road, isn't it? You ever try to tell people where the church is? Wouldn't it be great if we could say, it's at Ur. Well, archaeologists tell us in their discoveries, recent discoveries, that Ur was actually a city of great wealth. It was of considerable culture. It was a metropolis. It had a library, they found. This ancient city had a library. It had a university. In Abraham's day, Ur had a university. Probably had a Starbucks and plans for a Walmart, too. I mean, who knows? It was a very, very important city. But you need to know this, that Ur was also devoted as a city. The area of Ur, the city of Ur, was devoted to the worship of the moon goddess. That was what it was known for. And there's general agreement among scholars that Abraham was one of those moon worshipers when God showed up. The Jewish writing called the Talmud tells us that Abraham's father, Terah, was worshiping, was following 12 different deities. And then God appeared to Abraham. We don't know what form this took, but whatever it was, this is what's important to note, that it was God who took the initiative. God sovereignly, in his timing, God took the initiative. God always initiates. We simply respond. Whether it's your salvation or the vision for your life, it didn't begin with you. It's important to note that. It doesn't begin with you. It all starts with God. You simply respond to his initiative. And that's great news, because you will never have to talk God into getting on board with your plans. If you do, they weren't God's plans. If you respond to God's initiative, then all you have to worry about is getting on board with his plans for your life. Well, suddenly God broke into this moon worshiper's life, and Abraham came face to face with the same two things that we all experience in a God encounter. When you encounter God, these two things will happen. There will be a command, and there will be a promise. In chapter 12, we see both. In verse 1, we see the command. In verses 2 and 3, we see the promise. He was commanded to leave, and he was promised a land. Again, since Abraham is our faith father, then what I would like to do in the remaining time that we have is to compare what God commanded and promised him with what God demands and plans for us as well. So let's take a look at the command, verse 1. Genesis 12:1 says that Abraham was ordered to leave three things. He was ordered to leave his country, his people, and his father's household. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Similarly, when God calls you to his vision for your life, you first have to leave the old country. You got to leave the old country to go with God. For Abraham, that meant literally. He had to pick up and pack up and leave. For you, symbolically or spiritually, that means leaving your old value system. Leaving the old home means leaving your old system of values, what you trust in, your money, your recognition, or the need for recognition, power, pleasure, those things that we tend to rely upon to produce the great life that we desire, that we envision. Now listen to this. You can't lay claim to the land of promise if you've staked your claim on the land of empty promises. Those things that I just mentioned, power, fame, success, all of those things, they're fine. God uses those, but if that's what you're depending on, if that's what you're staking your claim in, you will be disappointed. Stake your claim in God's promises and pursue them. Likewise, leaving the old country means leaving your addiction to comfort. How many of you like the comfort zone? Huh? Besides me. Yeah, most of us. You have to be willing to let go of your addiction to comfort. Rarely do a step of faith and clutching the familiar coincide. You can't set sail for new faith horizons if you're still tethered to the shore of risk-free faith. You've got to let go. You've got to step out. You've got to trust God. You've got to risk belief in order to experience radical blessing. Now, what is your old country? What does that represent to you? What are your old dependencies? What are your old familiarities? I don't know what they are for you. I have an idea of what they are for me, but what does that mean for you? I can't tell you, but I hope that you will think about that. What is the old country in your life? Whatever it is, you need to let it go. You need to let go of it. in order to follow where God is calling you. And secondly, not only do you leave the old country, but you've got to leave the old people. God knew that Abraham couldn't follow him in a house full of Moonies. He had to leave. He had to leave his people behind. Now, following God may require putting boundaries around or putting distance between people who distract and encourage you from the steps of faith that it's going to take for you to follow God. You may need to reduce their influence in your life by increasing the influence of people of like-minded faith. You can't totally do away with them. That's not what I'm saying. And maybe God's called you to, but likely not. What you do is you just increase the influence of people that have the same kind of faith that you do. That's what I love about church. That's what I love about this church. There's ways for you to plug in and be around people who will encourage you and challenge you and pray for you and inspire you to great things. A small group, a class, a ministry team. That's why we encourage, one of the reasons why we encourage you to get involved. Are there people in your life who are detracting from God's vision for you? You may need to leave those people. Perhaps not literally, probably not literally. So don't go home and kick your spouse out of the house because Pastor Ray said so. That's not what I'm talking about. But to get your breakthrough to faith-producing impact, a life of faith-producing impact, you've got to break with faith-killing influences. So who are your faith killers? Who are your faith killers? Identify them, but begin to pack your life with faith builders. You've got to leave the old country, and you have to leave behind the old influences. And third, you've got to leave the old house, the old house. Abraham was called to leave his father's household. Abraham was 75 years old, and he was still at home. The ultimate failure to launch kind of guy, right? Now, I mean, culturally, that was an acceptable thing, so we're not going to hate on him too much. But Abraham, here's the deal. Abraham had to learn that God was his true source. And that's why God called him to step away from his father Terah's home. He had to learn that God was his true source. God always calls us to leave because you cannot go to the promised land and stay in Ur at the same time. A life of faith and a failure to launch can't coexist. From possibilities to become possibilities. For the ordinary to become extraordinary, steps of faith are required. Risky belief is the path to radical blessing. And you have to step out. You have to put yourself out there where you know no helper but God. You have to step out into that rare air of risky belief where you're going, wow, God, if you don't show up right now, I'm going to look awfully foolish. God, if you don't show up, this is going to be a mess. You put yourself out there. I'm not saying foolishly, but following God's call. You wisely, resolutely risk faith and put yourself out there where you know no helper but God. That is the only way to know that God is your true and only source. Now, of course, God blesses us with other sources. I'm not saying anything different than that. But fundamentally, foundationally, we need to come to the place where we know no other helper, no other source but God. So leave your old home, leave your old people, even leave your own household. Now with that threefold promise, that threefold command comes a threefold promise in verses 2 and 3. Here's what it says. I will make you, if you'll do that, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all of the people on earth, all of the peoples on earth, will be blessed through you. Three promises. The first promise is for success. He says, I will make you into a great nation. Now, as I've said before, success doesn't necessarily mean wealth. That is not God's promise to make you incredibly wealthy. Although he may. His blessing doesn't necessarily exclude that, but it doesn't necessarily include that. Now, Abraham happened to be a very wealthy man. God made him so. And God may have that for you as well. I pray that he does. But I know plenty of people. I know people who are the poorest on earth who have great faith and great success. In fact, I'm going there in the next few days. So it's not about wealth. It's something better than that. It's God's promise of divine power in our lives. It's the promise of kingdom authority, of greater faith, a greater faith capacity, of the abundant life of joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's success. And it may even include material blessing as well. God desires that kind of success for you, the promise to make you successful. The second promise is even better yet. It's the promise of significance. He says, I will make your name great. God wanted to give Abraham influence. And God wants to give you influence as well. He really does. Divine success and godly influence will attract people to the God that you're following. And when God gives you success, just remember, that success just isn't for you. It's not just for your comfort. When God gives you influence in a position of power, that's not just for your satisfaction. God gives you those so that those can attract people that look at you to the God that you follow. That's why he gives you significance. And then the third promise is for satisfaction. It says people will be blessed through you. Success that doesn't bless doesn't satisfy. You have all the success, all the significance in the world, but if it doesn't bless other people, it's empty. There's nothing better than having the effect that God has on people when he touches their life. And he gives us that possibility. So while true satisfaction is the joy of being used to bless others, the deepest satisfaction, the truest satisfaction, is the joy of knowing that you have been used to bless others. You know, once in a while, I throw a party. I don't know if you knew that about me, but once in a while, I can throw a great pity party. It's rare. Don't do it very often. Two or three times a day. A while ago, I was in a deep pity party. Now, I was not feeling very successful. I was questioning my success as a pastor, as a person. I wasn't feeling very significant at all. I wasn't satisfied. I was just down. I was bummed out. And there was a young woman who came into my office, unannounced. She sat across the desk from me, and she began to talk to me. And I don't think she even scheduled the appointment. Somehow she just made it through the guards and, you know, was sitting down there before I knew. I knew who she was, but we'd never really interacted a whole lot before. I knew her by name, but not much else. I didn't even know what she did, except that I knew that she was a successful single businesswoman. And she came and she sat down, and she began to thank me for being such a blessing in her life over the short period of time that she had sat under my pastoral leadership. I didn't know that. She kind of sat in the back. We said hi, God bless you, goodbye on the way in and out of church at times, but never any interaction with her. But she said, I just want to thank you. I want you to know that your ministry has been such a cause for growth and encouragement in my own walk with the Lord. And I cannot tell you how suddenly satisfying that was to me, to know that God had used me to bless somebody else. And I thought, yeah, I am successful. You know, I do have significance. That is deeply satisfying. And that is God's plan for every single one of you in this room today. That's God's plan for you. That is the promised land that he has for your life. Every one of us. You know, the Bible is written for the purpose of bringing the people of God into the land of God. God called Abraham to leave the old, to go to the new, to the promised land. And that's where God is calling you to go. He's got a promised land for you. And we're going to begin to explore that. We're going to take that journey with Abraham over the next several weeks. God is calling you to a promised land of blessing, a radical blessing. But you have to risk belief to go there. If you will, he will give you uncommon success, significance in who you are, what you do, and the satisfaction of knowing that God is favoring you and using you to bless others. So go with me on this journey. We're going to come to the Lord's table. I'm going to ask for our servers to get ready. And I think this is so appropriate as we launch this journey that we, first of all, come and we we just spend some time and allow God to inspire us with the vision that he created for us in this communion moment. Before we do that, though, I want to give you, I told you I was going to give you another assignment. So I want you to write this down. So we've talked about looking at the stars and allowing God to birth or rebirth or resurrect a vision within us. And your assignment is to begin to press in to that vision. To press into that vision. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to analyze what we've talked about today. Analyze. What do you need to leave in order to go where God wants you to go? What is your old country? What are the old people? You know, what is your father's household, symbolically, spiritually, that you need to take care of? And then here's the other assignment. I want you to personalize. I want you to begin to personalize. As you read the Bible, as you Abraham's life, as you hear the stories, as you listen to these messages, as you follow Abraham's journey of faith, I want you to place yourself in his sandals. He's the father of our faith. Therefore, his life is what our life can be. So you have to personalize that. And then lastly, again, visualize. Visualize. Every time you see a night sky, every time you see the stars, I want you to look at those and let them be a reminder of God's great plans, of the great things that God has in store for your life.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. For more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Again, thank you for listening.